Certainly, one of the things that comes to mind on this slaughter of the innocents is abortion. How many, it's in the millions, children have been killed, see, offered up to the god Moloch, the god of whatever. Many people just bewildered, frightened, badly counseled, but it's still murder. And so, in this first reading from Jeremiah, you see, how did that happen there? Anyway, it'll be okay. I'd rather in the gospel text, Jeremiah, in the first reading, we've just begun, well, in our selection, we've just begun the first letter of John. Beloved, this is the message that we heard from Jesus Christ, and we proclaim to you. What's the message? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We can never suspect God because he's pure love. If we say we have fellowship with him while we continue to walk in darkness, we lie and do not act in truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You see how important. Why don't Christians get along? Because we're not walking in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And we reach out. Worry. And almost every morning when I wake up, I think of the people sleeping on the sidewalks down in Washington. They don't have a bed to get out of. Now, yes, some of them are mentally troubled. That's okay. We all are a little bit. But who's taking care of them? Who would they trust enough when somebody says, come, I want to get you a place to sleep? They'd say, he looks like a cop. He's probably going to take me to jail. I mean, so that's part of this text. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. In other words, if we're not totally in light, then there's no community. Community is not based on fellow feeling. It's based on walking in the light. Whether we're talking about Mother of God community, or the parish, or the whole church, or walk in the light. Well, what does that mean, to walk in the light? You see, and do the truth, the text says. Here he has act in the truth. That's all right, but do the truth. How can we do the truth? What do we do when we do the truth? Huh? We give complete human expression to the reality and the majesty of Jesus Christ. We don't harbor anger, jealousy, small-mindedness, and we do worry about the poor and take some concrete steps to help them. I don't know why this comes to me, but the monks in the Egyptian desert way back, second, third century, fourth even. One of them said to the Lord one day, Lord, what will my reward be in heaven? And he said, it will be like Alexander, the actor. I mean, I'm out here fasting, praying all day, and I'm as good as the actor down there. But then he remembered, the monk, that Alexander had just given a lot of money to the poor about a few days before that. And of course, you know, he's not up nights reading from the Bible or anything. I mean, he's an actor. But he did that right. And the Lord will never forget it. He walked in the light. And if we do walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's a very key notion, right? Suppose the parish, they all get mad at each other. Suppose the community, we all get mad at one another. Why? Because we're not walking in the light. You want to have unity? Walk in the light. And you will die to self. And you will build the community, the family, the parish, the community, whatever. You see? If we walk in the light and he is in the light, then we're comfortable. No, that's not what it says. Then we have fellowship with one another. Kinonia. It's a precious word. Fellowship. I don't know. Does that strike you as kind of abstract? Maybe not. It does me all the time. But the Greek word is kinonia. We have commonness with one another. And the blood of his son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. You're worried about your sins? Just start walking in the light. They'll all be taken away. And you won't have any more resentments or angers or jealousies or whatever. Right away? No, it takes some time. But if we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is Jesus, is not in us. Do you see why, after Vatican II, so many people said, you know, I don't need confession anymore. And they're not walking in the light. And so we've got Catholics fighting with one another all over the world, never mind the whole rest of the world. And that's why. If I really acknowledge my sin every morning, I'm much less likely to go on an ego trip and be angry at somebody or try to outdo somebody, or don't you think? If I've just confessed my own sins, and that's what he's saying, you see. If we say we have not sinned, people do that, you know. You might be talking to a guy at lunch, trying to win him over, and he says, I'm a very moral person. What kind of morality? You see, it says, you're deceiving yourself. Well, how do we know how to acknowledge our sins? We get to know the Lord, and we trust him. And then we're not frightened to acknowledge what we know anyway. There's a psalm that goes like that. It's Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose guilt is covered over, and whose fault is wiped away. And on his lips there is no guile. Well, this is a different kind of blessed, right? The other three are sins forgiven. Psalm goes on to say, I was sick, and then I confessed my sins to the Lord, and it went. And that's what this is trying to say here, you see. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from sin. But if we say we are without sin, I don't know who'd be dumb enough to say that. Anyway, we practically do that, though. You know, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we acknowledge our sins, just like that fellow in the psalm, he is faithful and just and forgive our sins and cleanse us from every wrong doing. It's just good business to repent every day. You see? If we say we have not sinned, We make him a liar. Why do we make him a liar? He says, I forgive you. You say, no thanks, I don't need it. I don't know. We can do that, you know. We wouldn't say that, those words. But, and then the hope. My children, I'm writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. He wrote it to his audience, and he's writing it to us today. You see? But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. We have a paraclete. The word is in the Greek text. We have a parakletos, interceding for us. You see? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's praying for us all the time. You see? He is expiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Now, why would they pick that text for this feast? Because if there were any sinless people who went straight to heaven without going acknowledging their sins, it were these little babies. Well, that'll never happen to us now. I mean, you know, we've sinned and we're adults and we should repent. But it's not enough to repent. You got to care for each other. That's what he says is going to happen, right? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. Okay. I'll go quickly on the gospel so we don't stay here too long. The Magi left, and the angel told Joseph, now, night, get up. Take the child and his mother, because that's your responsibility to take care of God and his mother, and flee to Egypt. You know, that's, even when you go by jeep, that's a trip, you know. It's not like around the corner. Probably would take them 2 days, maybe three, to walk from Bethlehem to Egypt. And then you know the rest. Herod realized he had been deceived by the Magi. He became furious. He ordered the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity. I got to be sure. See, my power, my comfort, my whatever, you see, depends on eliminating all the opposition. These little children, 2 years and old, they're big opposition. Huh? Historians will tell us this poor man killed God knows how many members of his own family. Opposition. They might take my throne. Poor guy. And when he died, he just dropped dead in public. This guy here, it. Huh? So the beginning of our Lord's life is already conflict. Why? Well, hasn't it ever happened to you that you don't want somebody to talk to you about your sin? Even if somebody's coming to say, I'd like to, you know, have a better relationship with you. We had an argument a year ago. And you get really uncomfortable. Instead of saying, you're right. And I was as wrong as you were. And let's get back together. You see. And then we have this. The appearance of the Lord in the world brings conflict. Our Lord said, you think I've come to bring peace to this world? I have not come to bring peace, but the sword. And father will be mad with his son with his father, and mother with the daughter, and the daughter-in-law with the mother-in-law, and all the rest. And what he's doing there, he's quoting a text from Micah about the presence of God provoking decision, even in a family. Uh, Now you might wonder, gosh, it's only 3 days after Christmas, right? We've hardly finished the pudding. And the church is making us think about this. Because that's the only way for freedom.